week, you know, pre-holiday wait, and then we would come back the Sunday after Thanksgiving, and no, that's not what we're doing. But how many of you broke your diets this week? We can do some feasting, can't we? Friday morning, we're eating pumpkin pie for breakfast. And we're trying to decide if pumpkin is a fruit or a vegetable. But we figured that either way, with the dairy of Cool Whip and the grains of the crust, that it counts as a balanced, nutritious breakfast. You know, it is easy to be thankful when you're stuffed full. But what about when you're not? My grandmother, she's about to celebrate her 90th birthday. So in 90 years, you pick up a lot of life experience. And a good chunk of those 90 years, well, she spent in local ministry, on the mission field, as a Bible college professor. So she's got a lot of stories to tell. And she's been sharing these stories with the family through email, some Thanksgiving stories, and I want to share one of them with you. This is what she writes. I have a dear friend who lives in Florida. We've been friends for most of our lives. We were 13 and 14 when we met and instantly hit it off together. We did silly things like going to town after dark and climbing the fire escapes in the back alleys to the roofs of the store to walk along the tops of them and feeling daring. Later on were the boyfriend days. My friend's parents wouldn't let her go out with her boyfriend unless I went along as a chaperone. I didn't mind going because he let me drive the car. Wonder why that was. And that was the only way I got to practice driving. She was with me the night I met my future husband in church. We were singing in the choir. After we married, our paths parted and we did not see each other again for 40 years. Still, we kept in touch through letters. Kids, that's something people used to do before texting and email. When we finally got together again, it was as if no time had passed. Her husband gradually lost his eyesight, and she developed health problems too. She became unable to swallow solid food and has to be fed through a tube in her stomach. Then last year, her husband died. This year, her grandchildren, who live next door and do so much to help her, are going out of state for Thanksgiving to be with the other side of the family. Only her daughter will be with her on Thanksgiving. My friend can't eat. So what do you have for Thanksgiving? She told me, with pleasure, hot chocolate. For years, she hasn't been able to drink it because she had been drinking hot chocolate with her father when he suffered a massive heart attack and died suddenly. Because of that association, she simply couldn't bring her emotions in line to drink it. But years have gone by, and recently someone had prepared hot cocoa, and it smelled wonderful, and asked her if she would like to try it, and she relished the taste. So this year, her daughter will buy some takeout, bring it over to the house to eat, and my friend, for Thanksgiving, will have hot chocolate and thank the Lord for his goodness. That gives you some perspective on Thanksgiving, does it not? And the problems that maybe we complain about. Well, I want to talk this morning about the benefits of thankfulness, or the rewards of a thankful heart. The side effects, if you will, of being thankful. Now, there are a lot of positive consequences to gratitude, and this is something we know not only from the scripture, but this is one of those areas where science and sociology have confirmed what scripture's been telling us. And I just love it, when human knowledge and human learning come alongside and tell us and confirm what God's been telling us all along. But the first benefit is that it will increase your personal happiness. And kids, here's the first picture. I want you to draw a picture of yourself with a really happy face. I want to see some good, happy faces. But being grateful and having a grateful heart will increase your personal happiness. Recently, I read a magazine article from Forbes magazine entitled 7 Scientifically Proven Benefits of Gratitude that will motivate you to give thanks year-round. And this article refers to several recent studies that have been done that show how thankfulness could contribute to your personal happiness. For instance, they found that it improves your physical health as well as your psychological health. Another study found that being thankful helps you sleep better. Now that's a happier person right there. They also found that that if you are thankful, that it will give you greater mental strength. It improves your self-esteem. So just based on those things alone, you can already see how being thankful makes you a happier person. But I think that Scripture takes us deeper than that, and God invites us to something more than that. You see, happiness, by definition, happiness, if you study the etymology of the word, happiness is based on happenings. It's based on the circumstances and the things that happen to you. And who wants their happiness to be at the mercy of external forces over which you have little to no control? And so on that level, your personal happiness can go up and down depending on what kind of day you've had. If you've had a good day, well, you're happy. If you haven't had a good day, well, not so much. But God leads us to something deeper and more meaningful. Instead of just happiness, He offers us joy. And joy isn't just based on things that happen to you. Joy comes from the inside. It is an attitude, and it's really a way of seeing things. And this is why the Apostle Paul was able to write from prison. Keep that in mind as we hear these words. He writes this from prison. In chains, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Now, do you hear what Paul's saying there? He's saying that we can rejoice in all circumstances. Well, how can we do that? Well, he says, because you don't have to be anxious. You don't have to be worried about anything. Well, why is that? Well, because, he says, you can present even your needs to God with an attitude of thanksgiving. With a heart of gratitude, you can present those to God. And as a result, he says, God's peace, a peace which goes beyond human wisdom's ability to understand, that peace will fill your life. It will guard your heart and your mind. And you can rejoice and have that joy. And so joy comes from what God gives us inside, and it is an attitude of gratitude that fuels that joy. Joy or thanksgiving is the spring which supplies the fountain of joy. And so Paul could be happy. He could be joyful despite the fact that he is in chains. And he learns that he can thank God in every situation. And that was his perspective on life. That was his way of seeing things. And having the right perspective can change everything. For instance, a teenage girl sent an email to her mother from college. She says, "Dear Mom, sorry I haven't written sooner. My arm really has been broken. I broke it and my left leg too when I jumped from the second floor of my dormitory when we had a fire. But we were lucky. A young service station attendant saw the blaze and called the fire department. They were there in minutes. I was only in the hospital for a few days, and Paul, the service station attendant, came to see me every day. Because it was taking so long to get our dormitory livable again, I moved in with him. He's been very nice, though. I must admit, I am pregnant, and Paul and I plan on getting married just as soon as he can get a divorce. I hope things are fine at home. I'm doing fine, and will write when I get the chance. Love, your daughter, Susie. P.S. Mom, None of the above is true, but I did get a C in sociology. I just wanted you to receive this news in its proper perspective. So you see, having the right perspective can change your view of so many things. But thanksgiving, having a grateful heart, will improve our happiness. It'll help you to have joy. The second thing a grateful heart will do is it will improve your witness for Christ. All right, kids, here's what I need you to draw on this one. I need you to draw a picture of yourself telling a friend about Jesus. Maybe you're inviting them to church. Maybe you're inviting them to, you're bringing them with you to youth group. But you talking to another person, a friend about Jesus. You see, having this inner sense of joy, that attitude that springs from within, will make us better witnesses for Christ. What is sad is when you see those Christians who are the most negative, sour people in the world. Now, please do not point. That wouldn't be productive. But we've all known those believers who've been in the church sometimes for years and years, yet they're mean-spirited, they are ungrateful, and they act like they've been baptized in vinegar, not the Holy Spirit. Who would want to come to Jesus being around those people? No wonder some people don't want to have anything to do with the church. But when we are thankful and joy-filled, we attract people with our spirit of gratitude. Because the world is such a dark and ungrateful place. Have you read the news lately? Nobody's thankful. Everybody's protesting and marching and rioting because everybody's offended and everybody's a victim and everybody's demanding this and demanding that. I would just love to see a bunch of university students hold a march to say thank you. We've got it so good. That's not going to happen, though. Years ago, one of my favorite Christian musical acts had an album and a song called Soul Bait. And the idea behind it was that God has intended each one of us to be bait, if you will, to attract another human soul. And if you're a fisherman, you understand the importance of having the right lure and the right bait. It's important, isn't it, Terry? I know from my dad that there is no amount of money that's too much to not have the right tackle to go fishing with. And when God was looking at a lost world and the way in which to bring those people to himself, the hook is Jesus Christ dying on the cross for their sins. And guess what's the bait? You are. Your life. Your attitude. And I think having that thankful, grateful heart is a big part of that will give us that magnetic attraction to lost people. 1 Peter 2:12 says, live such good lives among the pagans. Live such good lives among the non-Christians that they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Which means what's going to happen is they're going to watch your life and your good life, a part of which is your grateful heart. Because of that, it will have such an impact on them that when the day he visits us, the day Jesus returns, instead of them bowing their knees in fear, they will bow their knees in worship because they have received him as their Lord and Savior. So a grateful heart will increase your personal happiness. It will improve your witness for Christ. Number three, and this just kind of builds on what I just said, it will enhance your personal relationships. It will enhance your personal relationships. All right, kids, here's what I need you to draw here on this one. I want to draw you to draw a picture of you telling somebody else thank you. So think of somebody who's done something for you, done something nice for you. It could be a friend. It could be a teacher. It could be your mom or dad. And just draw a picture of you saying, thank you for whatever it is that you are thanking them for. Like I said before, nobody likes being around a sour, ungrateful person. And people who take everything for granted, who act like you owe it to them, who are always complaining about things, they aren't attractive. They are repulsive. So having an ungrateful heart is kind of like having a people force field around you. But having a grateful heart invites people closer. It encourages them to come in because people want to be appreciated. They want to be valued. They want to know that they have made a difference in your life. So learning to express your gratitude will oil the gears of your relationships. It will enhance your relationships at home, at church, at work, at school. But I think the home is the place where we can maybe most readily see where the lack of appreciation affects our relationships. So I just want to give you kind of a caricature of a stereotypical marriage. The first year of marriage, the wife gets a bad cold. And the husband, seeing that his wife is sick, says, "Honey, you don't look good. You should go to the hospital. I've already arranged it, and I know the food is bad there, but I'll bring you food to eat." The second year, he says, "Honey, you don't look so good. I've called the doctor. Go and lay down. I'll take care of the kids." Year number three, "You know, you're not looking so hot. When you're done feeding the kids and cleaning up the kitchen, you ought to go lay down." Year number four, "Would you quit walking around here and barking like a seal, or you're going to give me your cold?" You see, the more familiar we become with each other, the less grateful we are, the more we take for granted, the more we just assume. But husbands, imagine how it might improve your marriage if you just showed up with flowers one day. And she's like, "Okay, what did you do?" Or "What are these for?" And you say, "No reason, I just wanted to thank you for all you do." I mean, think of the difference that would make. Or wives, think of how it might encourage your husband if you told him how much you appreciated what he does. Or kids, think of how much better things might go for you in the home if on occasion you told your mom and dad that you are grateful for all the money they spend and all the stuff they get you and all the things they do for you. Just imagine how much better things might be in the church if we showed appreciation and we expressed our thanks for each other instead of griping or finding fault. Do you know how the Apostle Paul began nearly every one of his letters? In fact, Galatians might be the only one he didn't do this. I'm not for sure. Just about every other one does begin this way. It begins with a prayer of thanksgiving. In Romans, "First, I thank my God for all of you." It's Romans 1:8. "To the church in Corinth, I always thank God for you." 1 Corinthians 1:4. "To the church in Ephesus, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." Ephesians 1:16. "To the church in Philippi, I thank my God every time I remember you." Philippians 1:3. "To the church in Colossae, I always thank God when I pray for you." And with each one of those statements, there comes an extended prayer of thanksgiving for the churches. Now, were these perfect churches? Churches that had everything together, they did everything right, there weren't any problems? No. In fact, if you read through those letters, there are a number of things that Paul has to write about where he corrects and even rebukes. But he begins with thanksgiving. He begins with gratitude. And he makes sure that the people in these churches understood that he was thankful for them. And a lot of times he mentions people by name. So it will improve our relationships. There's one other relationship that being thankful will enhance, but this one is so important that I wanted to separate it and make it its own point. And that is, it will solidify your relationship with God. It doesn't just improve your relationships on this level, it will improve this relationship. So kids, here's what I need you to draw here. I want to draw a picture of you praying, and you are on your knees or however you want to pray in your picture and thanking God and what you are thanking God for. Someone once said that God lives in two places. He lives in heaven, and he lives in the humble, thankful heart. Hebrews 12:25 says, "Let us please God by serving him with thankful hearts." We don't serve him out of a sense of obligation or duty or guilt. We serve him because we are thankful. We serve him because we are so overwhelmed with gratitude for all that he has done for us. Harriet Martineau was an atheist, and one morning she and a close friend who was a Christian stepped out into the glories of a beautiful fall morning. They saw the brilliant sun peeking through the haze. There was frost on the meadow. Brightly colored leaves were making their way lazily to the ground. And Harriet was so filled with just the wonder of the beauty, she burst forth and she says, "I am so thankful. I am just grateful for it all." And her Christian friend turned to her and asked, "Grateful to whom, my dear?" You see, I think there is something built inside, created inside each one of us that wants to connect with God, something that recognizes that there is something greater than us, something beyond us, and we want to connect to that, and we need to give thanks and praise to God. And so thankfulness draws us closer to him. It reminds us of our dependence on him. It reminds us that he is the giver of every good and perfect gift, and that we are not capable of doing everything on our own, that we can't do it all by our own strength. I mean, how do you feel as a parent when your child comes running up to you, jumps into you, hugs you just as tight as they can, says, "Thank you, Mommy. Thank you, Daddy. I love you so much." How does that make you feel? You know, some of you went out on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, and you braved all of that madness, and you spent hundreds of dollars to buy stuff, to wrap it up, put it under the tree, so that on Christmas morning you can experience just that moment where your child runs and gives you a hug and says, "Thank you. I love you so much." And as a father and as a mother, you hug them back and you relish those moments. How do you think God feels when we reach out in prayer or praise and hug him just as tight as we can? Say, "Thank you, God. Thank you, Dad, for all that you've done. I love you so much." Being thankful brings us closer to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." God doesn't tell us to give thanks because he needs it. No. Scripture tells us that God doesn't need anything from us. Scripture tells us to give thanks because we need it. We need to acknowledge our dependence on God. We need to draw close to him. And we need to give him thanks. And the more that we give thanks, the more that solidifies our relationship with God. You cannot be an ungrateful person and be close to God. Those things don't work together. So we need to be thankful people. Now, it would be entirely appropriate to conclude a sermon on giving thanks by giving thanks. So I'm going to invite the praise team to come up here, and they're going to play our song of invitation. And like every other week, if you need prayer, you can come to the cross. Some of our church leaders will be there to pray with you. You can come to the kneeling bench if you just need some time between you and God. If you're looking for a church home, you can make that decision. If you're looking to make Christ your Lord and Savior, you can come forward this morning, be baptized into Christ. But that doesn't mean everybody else just gets to sit where you are. Here's what I want you to do as they're playing. This is where you get to do some drawing today. You see the poster boards, the pins on the walls. As they sing the song and play the song, and as we sing, just kind of wherever you are, if you feel led and there's something that you're thankful for, just go write it on the poster board. It might just be a name of somebody who's made a difference in your life. It might be something that God has done for you this past year. It might be an attribute of God that you're really thankful for, His love, His grace, His majesty. Maybe there's a verse that means a lot to you, and you just want to write that verse. Just whatever is on your heart to express your thanks and your praise. We're going to stand, we're going to sing this song, and I want you all to just feel free to make your way around the room here and to fill these boards. Let's make a wall of praise and a wall of thanks and express that. And if you don't get it done here in just these few minutes, that's okay. You can finish it up after church. We'll leave those up. But let's write these things down and make a tangible expression of our thanks.